All right, so this is the work session. Today's date is the 3rd of November. It's 5 of 6. We just received a presentation from the Baldwinsville School District on behalf of Jamie Rodhams and
Dana,
I'll get a name for Dina.
Dina Nelson.
Nate Nelson? Okay. The second part, or number two of the work session, is discussing a petition residents north of Route 370 on Plainville Road. And I'll read the letter. This letter is written on behalf of the residents of Plainville Road north of Route 370. There currently is no posted speed limit in the area. In recent years, we have seen a dramatic increase in the amount of non-local commercial traffic on Plainville Road. Large trucks turn north from Route 370 and travel at a high rate of speed down the hill from Plainville. There are a number of school-aged children living nearby, and the school bus stops four times to pick up and discharge children in the area. Having these large trucks traveling at such a high speed is extremely dangerous and also detracts from the quality of life in the neighborhood. We are proposing the following changes. The speed limit on Plainville Road south of 370 is currently posted at 35 miles an hour. We would like to see that 35 mile an hour speed limit continue across Route 370 and down Plainville Road for about half a mile to the point where Plainville Road passes under the New York Power Authority power lines. Bullet point number two, after passing the power lines, the posted speed limit should be increased to 45 miles an hour. 45 mile an hour limit should continue north to meet the 45 mile an hour limit that already exists when leaving the hamlet of Lysander. And it says, thank you for your consideration of this matter. And then it leaves a space for constituent's name, address, and signature. And so we received Thirteen petitions, and I believe that there are residents here that may want to speak on this subject. If you could just
correct me if I'm wrong, but before we go any further, this is not in our hands. This is in the State Department of Transportation's hands, as I understand things. We can ask the state to look into this.
I called the county, and the man I spoke to said, you have to ask the county,
right?
And then the county asks the DOT,
right?
So that's why.
So basically, what we're doing here tonight is, you know, just getting up to speed on the issue. Mm-hmm. Love to hear from you and your concerns. And if there's anything in addition to the petition that you'd like to add, but if the board is comfortable with crafting a motion requesting that action, I'm fine with it. But I thought that we would just speak on it. But we don't need to.
I just want to make sure we understand the protocol.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I went through a similar thing, and I was actually shocked because all the speeds, if they're not posted, are 55. Correct, Gene? So the speed limit on Plainville Road is 55 miles an hour, and that was I live on Dinglehole Road, and that was the same on Dinglehole Road, which was it's an insane road to have 55. Not so much because you didn't want people to go that fast. You can't go that fast on that road. It's a bunch of curves and hills. So I was shocked the state came out and said, yep, it should be 45, and they lowered it. So they're going to look at it from the standpoint of safety in terms of visibility and things like that. So I would be fine to send this
along. It's only a stretch of maybe 3, maybe 4 miles that's not posted.
Right.
But then you don't have to come out of Lysander.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's posted as far as Swamp Road.
Yeah.
And then from Swamp Road, I think it's Swamp Road to Plainville Road, it's not posted.
And what? I'm sorry, your name?
I'm Bob Bell.
Bob Bell, okay, I've got you here. And you're at 8098 Plainville Road. Okay. Fred?
Fred?
I live at the corner of Church and Plainville, and the reason there's a sign at Swamp Road is 4 years ago I created a petition and got 35 signatures on it, which constituted everybody within a half a mile of each direction of my house, every homeowner, because the Plainville Road had no posted speed limit the entire distance until it met Church Road, where it was 30. So people were coming in 60 and 70 and hitting the 30 zone. So what I did is brought that petition to the town board. They forwarded it to the DOT. The DOT came out and did a traffic study, mm-hmm. which I saw them there for 2 days, in which consisted of vehicles traveling down the street at various speeds, and they were videotaping them and speed censoring them. I initially asked for the speed limit 30 miles an hour to be extended all the way to Swamp Road. And they said that they didn't think that that would work out based on their study, but they said we will take it from where it is at 55, which is a non-posting, and start it at 45, starting at Swamp. So what they're gonna have to do is, if you forward the petition, they'll come out, do a traffic study, see what they can do. They might not meet exactly what you ask, but maybe there'll be a compromise. And if we can get half of the vehicles that are oversized tractor trailers to slow down, that would be better than what we have now.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm aware of the process. It's very similar to you know, in the village, if there was ever a request. So I'm perfectly fine floating a motion and adding it as item I on the agenda.
I'm good with it.
Okay.
And I don't want to belabor the issue, but it's an interesting, I've worked with state DOT because one of the things we wanted to do is lower the speed limit on Onondaga Lake Parkway in the village of Liverpool. They have an interesting response. Their response is the road itself dictates what the speed limit will be, meaning that no matter what sign you put up, people will go the speed that they want to go on the road. Now, an exception to that would be, and I've never understood it, is what is it? Van Buren Road, you know, from Camillus on up, from Fairmont on up, which is 35 miles an hour. It's shocking to me that someone had some political push to get that to be 35. Because one of the things they're going to say is, who's going to enforce the speed limit?
Right.
And there's nobody's going to enforce it. So the road almost has to enforce itself. But I think you're making a very reasonable case to go from 55 to 45. I don't know if you'll get 35, though.
Since Walmart opened,
that's what's
a whole lot of tractor trailers. One guy must have figured it out, and then they share the information.
They go up to Fulton.
They go up. They're going to Fulton, and then they, you know, and then they guys figure out they can go up to 104 and go west anyway.
All right.
So, sure.
Yeah. So we'll put that on the agenda for and float a motion and see what we get back.
Great.
We'll keep you in the loop.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks for
coming.
Thank
you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next on the agenda is local law with solar code. So we kind of went through this in depth, and I had Al mark up or give us an updated or an amended version from where we started. And have you guys had a chance to read through this?
I don't have that from here, do I? I have the wireless technology.
Can I assume that any of the things
should have been
discussed
stapled.
Were
should
incorporated?
Have been
yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
Because I haven't seen this, I didn't review the new version. I want to assume that anything we talked about was
right. The changes.
Yeah, I believe I got everything in there.
Yeah. So I mean, take a minute, read down through it, because what I'd really like to do is set a public hearing to review this. I mean, I think we should set a goal to have this accomplished by, say, December. I think it's pretty much the work's been done on it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank again the planning board. One of the things, and I believe, Al, did we take out industrial zoned areas for?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
We agree with that.
Okay. Permits are going to be issued through the code enforcement, or permits will be issued through the code enforcement office.
Yeah, other than solar farms, we go through a site plan review that plays with us.
Right.
The one. I mean, this is. I did this through my notes. I think I had pretty good notes on this one.
And did you use Bob's as well, or was Bob's?
No,
for,
that was on the
telecommunication.
I had pretty good notes on this one. I believe I got everything that was said. Just review it and let me know if there's anything you want to.
There was one thing I just wanted to It had to do with qualified solar installers.
Yeah, we kept it as Bob.
That they had to be certified through these agencies.
But we kept it with the argument that the code enforcement officer could allow a homeowner to do it if they so chose. Right. It just had to be inspected.
Okay. Good. So other than that, I was comfortable with the language.
So we're not passing this tonight. We're just having a pass it. Public hearing.
Yeah, what I'd like to do is ask if we could put a motion on the agenda this evening, setting a public hearing for our next board meeting.
Sounds good.
To consider it.
Right, sure.
Perfect.
All right, so that'll go on as item
J.
When's our next regular board meeting?
17.
I just want to make sure we have enough time to publish it, because it won't get into the paper until...
Oh, yeah, we will. It's got to be submission deadline for Sunday's paper. That's a 10-dayer. Submission deadline for Sunday's paper is today. So we won't make it. It'll have to be the first meeting in December.
Okay. Which is...
Are we back on a Monday schedule in December?
Yes.
We are?
Yep.
So it should be Monday the... are you sure? Because that would put our second meeting on the 26th. Okay, let me look at the town calendar.
Monday the 12th is what it says on the agenda.
Okay.
Or Thursday the 29th.
It's the 12th.
It's the 12th. Can I get a motion?
And we set it for the 12th and the 29th, just for the December town board meeting.
Okay. Because
that's my recollection. That's what my calendar tells me.
On December 12th?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Well, yeah, town calendar says...
Tiny announcements here. Okay. Tony, tell me if this is adequate. It'll be motion J, and I'll be asking for a motion setting a public hearing on December 12th regarding the adoption of a local law for on-site use solar energy systems. Okay. Okay. Item number four was the telecommunications. Sue Marino, I contacted her. She wasn't able to come out. She's available if we want to get her on her phone for a teleconference. I wasn't going to do that unless there were specific questions that we needed her expertise on. Al again put together an updated version of the law based on comments and concerns of previous meetings.
So I actually took the time this afternoon, after reading it a second time and then going through my notes and Bob's notes, I got a list of questions that I came up with that we could just mail this or email this to Sue and handle it that way and get answers. I mean, some of them are important and you know, the way I see things, but I mean, if you guys want to review these and let me know if there's anything you want to add, and then we can just send a complete list to Sue and get responses, and then change the draft accordingly once we have the answers. Might be the best way to...
Well, let's read through these quickly and see if there's anything that we'd want to take a position on before we do that. I think we discussed two. I think the new law is a catch-all as it relates to telecommunications facilities.
Yeah, there's a clause in that that says, how do we enforce? I mean, do we go out and take pictures of the existing towers now, and then how are we to enforce the addition of, you know, if one shows up, what do we do? If a new antenna gets put on a tower and then nobody notifies us, you know,
I think this would put a procedure in place if there's going to be any modification.
Well, actually, it does, but it talks about if there's a special use permit, and our current code doesn't require a special, so they're not operating under a special use permit. It's just allowed. So I don't know as we can revoke. That's where I was going with it. And I don't know. It talks about revoking special use permit, but they don't have a special use permit. So there's nothing to revoke. How do you tell them they can't be there anymore?
I'm not sure you could take. They would be grandfathered.
That's why I didn't.
But they need to come in, and if it's now a special permit, they got to come in and get a special.
But then it also goes on to say that the tower must be in compliance with the current code. Well, that the tower wasn't reviewed under the current code, so I mean that could result in us telling the company to take a tower down. That's what I'm getting. But the way that it reads, it doesn't. I mean, Tony, maybe you should review it because I didn't. The way it reads to me was.
Well, would that allow
a little
us,
harsher than that?
Would that allow us the opportunity to inspect the facility to make sure that it meets?
Yeah, you can. But if it was approved under. Or allowed, whether you approve or allowed, under a previous, prior to the law, you can't say, well, you got to change it now because they would be grandfathered. But if there's any changes or additions to that thing, they'd have to bring that to compliance.
That's where I was going with that, is the whole compliance issue of height and everything else. There's certain parameters that they have to demonstrate for the height of the tower. If the tower is higher than it needs to be by the parameters that we set, what are the effects on existing towers? It's not very well defined, is all I'm getting at with that question.
You and I can go over it.
Yeah. It's just not very well defined what is there. And how do we want to... Okay. I mean, to me, I'm all for saying that they got to come in for a special use permit for if they're building a new one, but existing towers, if they want to put an antenna on, it should just be the... simple, administrative approval procedure said and done.
Well, I think what that's supposed to do is any modifications would trigger a review.
A review,
yeah.
But the way they word it is it makes it a review with a special use permit. And it should, I would think it should be an administrative approval. It's just not real clear to me. When I read it a couple times, it's not real clear.
Okay.
Just further definition of how
like
we handle those situations.
I'd like to hear from her how this section is utilized to bring older structures that came in prior to scrutiny and how they might be brought up to either current standards or at least a basic safety inspection.
That's where I'm going with it, and it's just not very well.
That's a good point to ask her. Good.
So
she did mention she was on the phone with us last time, the over-the-air reception devices and private non-commercial telecommunications, because they are governed under, I think, totally separate laws.
Okay, so that one can be scratched.
Why should service from proposed home community primarily only provide service within the town?
So if somebody's putting, if somebody's putting a cell tower on the north end of town, or towards the Oswego County line,
quite frankly, the population on the other side of the Oswego County line may be greater than, you know, what it is on our side. Let's say, for example, over by Phoenix. I mean, is that really...
I'm curious to see what a position is on this. My guess, and again, it's just a guess, is the fact that at one time telecommunication towers were contentious issues, and for a company to prove that it needed to put a facility somewhere and let's say inconvenience one municipality, that there needed to be some proof that the municipality that was going to be impacted was going to have a benefit.
Yeah, just some kind of clarification on on where.
I think that's a good catch, Al, because we didn't even talk about that last time.
It's just I read it a couple more times, and it's some things jumped out at me. I was just like, man, this doesn't necessarily
pertain
to me. Yep. Not in my opinion. I mean, and maybe other people see it differently.
No, I think it's good.
Yep.
Asking that question.
The other thing, section. This one is weird. Number five. So they only want the balloon test done on weekends, and I can't. If one of the town board members wanted to come out and look at that, or somebody else, I mean, do we really want to have commit our weekends to that
balloon test?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that's totally up to this board.
But obviously, but that's the type of thing that... Is there other reasons that I don't see?
Balloons fly better on weekends.
That's traffic.
My number six. That's a good...
It says the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I just like... I mean, a lot of these, there's probably...
And maybe there's reasoning. I don't want to just change. I don't want to just change if there's a reason.
Right. Six. Why is one of the preferred new tower locations included right of ways? You mentioned this before.
Yeah.
Right of way. Road right of ways are not preferred
locations.
Location.
From fall zone. From
and that's mentioned multiple times throughout the agreement. And she was. I remember we brought that up. And she was basically, that's our prerogative as far as, you know, the order of...
Yeah, I mean, just give us some documentation of what, you know, maybe there's other reasons that we don't know. This isn't anything that we're experts in. It's what we rely on her.
Okay.
So...
Seven.
Seven. So one of the things it says is if they're... They can't, that we, you know, we don't want them to do height extensions... But if you don't allow somebody to do a height extension, does that result in another new tower? I mean, to me, I would want to see I'd rather see a 10-foot height extension on something than another new tower in another location.
Yeah, and again, I'm guessing that the language errs on the side of caution the provider prove why they want to make their tower taller.
Yes, okay. Yeah, it does.
So we'll get some background on that one.
Again, another 11A references primarily and essentially within the town. And same thing as the other one. Why?
Yep.
And they asked for a security of $75,000 for a new tower and $25,000 for each antenna that goes on a tower. We don't set a limit of how long the special use permits last. So if that tower's up for 100 years and then that thing goes defunct, that $75,000 is likely not going to be enough to take it down.
And that came up as well, if you remember. Right. She said the $75,000 can be adjusted, but that was based on their experience as far as
I
think now in 5 years.
She said they were projecting.
Maybe we write some language in that it has to be, that clause has to be reviewed every 5 years by the town board and a security appropriate security amount. Just something... Some kind of define that process.
Yep.
Right. I think I'm trying to remember because I usually take notes, but that's how we left it. That somehow we needed to remind ourselves to look at this every. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
not
just,
us specifically, but the board every 5 or so years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a.
How do we make sure that there's something that an alarm that goes off every 5 years? How can we do that?
You're gonna have to put it in a calendar.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to fall back to the town clerk ultimately. But it's just one of those things that, hey, we should get it in the language of the document so that it's documented and official and you know, I mean, I can take stabs at how I think it should read, and then you guys can review it, or if somebody's got suggestions, by all means, shoot me an email with them, and I can add them in.
Yep.
As you see fit.
And I got the answer to number 10. I had a buddy, I went to the University of Tennessee, and he used to climb towers, and to determine whether or not the tower was in use, he put his tongue on the tower, and if he got zapped, he wouldn't climb it. I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't know. I guess we just figure out the background of who owns it and see if
not it. The guy not it.
I did have a buddy that climbed towers. He was not right.
Boy, you guys should know that there's a lot of discussion about Mobilite and a couple of other companies within several towns. I'm at a listserv for the municipal attorneys, so we get, you know, we share all that stuff. There's been a lot of conversation going on. Mobilite's going into the different towns, so what we're dealing with, other ones are dealing with. Is it a utility? Is it not a utility? So forth and so on. So
well, and just for your information, you know, we asked for a moratorium on applications. That moratorium is up. So I'll get the answers to these questions emailed to you as soon as possible, and we'll see if we can set the public hearing for this by the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, so next steps are you and Al are going to talk to
Sue Marino.
Sue, and then we're going to do it on the December 12th meeting. We're going to set a public.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so on this our meeting on the 17th of November, we'll set the public hearing for the 12th.
Yeah. So ultimately, so that covers two very large, very important pieces of legislation. Once those are taken care of, approved, whatever, then I would ask that we also move in doing a final review of our overall code and submitting that, and because I know there were some pieces of legislation that were missing when it was submitted earlier. So if we could have, you know, ideally we'd have that review before the end of the year, given the fact that we're not going to be setting a public hearing for this legislation until December. That might be a lofty goal, but maybe at least by the end of January we could have that final review of the code.
Okay.
I think if we set some goal dates, we can move this along. But if we could get I think that would be a significant accomplishment.
Yeah.
Okay, so
could I ask a question before you move on?
Sure.
I was catching up with it. The reference early on to the grandfathered towers, and it sounded like there's language in this draft that would allow you to trigger an updating of a grandfathered tower.
Yeah.
But they'd have to go through.
I mean,
they couldn't just upgrade it without coming back to us.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, I could understand that if you wanted to put a new antenna on a tower, that antenna.
That's what it is. That antenna.
It's not the whole
tower. No, not the whole tower. It's the antenna.
It sounded like you were.
Well, I thought it was the
whole tower, and I don't think you can do that.
Well, no. Actually, the way it reads, to me, the way that document reads. I mean, we can read it together if you want. The way I read it, let's see, what question was that?
It was
number section 6B.
All legally permitted wireless telecommunications facilities constructed as permitted, existing on or before the effective date of this local law, shall be allowed to continue as they presently exist, provided, however, that any visible modification of an existing wireless telecommunications facility will require the complete facility or any new installation to comply with this local law.
The complete facility or any new installation.
Yeah,
so that's
so to me, that's like you're modifying its use, which would open the door for a review of the facility. Very similar to a site plan review if someone's modifying the use of a building.
The complete review on this is all of the, there's a whole bunch of requirements lined out in Section 8 that weren't looked at when this was those towers were done. So if they have to be in compliance with everything that's in Section 8, I would be willing to bet that some of the existing towers aren't in compliance with Section 8, because we didn't take this in-depth level of review when they were cited. So that's where I was going with that.
So I guess that, in my mind, would be a good thing. I mean, that would require... I mean, how else would you determine whether or not...
Is that allowed, Tony? I mean, can you change the standard of review for an existing tower, is what I was getting at.
I would think so, based on the fact that you can review a building or a structure if its use has changed or if it's modified.
They're going to argue that you're not changing the use of that tower.
Yeah, you're not changing the use of it.
It's a visible modification.
It's a visible modification. Yeah, it's not the use. So yeah. If everything that's in Section 8 applies to that,
Well, so let me ask you a question. So if this company that owns this tower, which is basically renting space to users, wants to put a 10,000-pound antenna on it, and that facility isn't adequately designed for that, how is that controlled?
Well, first of all,
I can't imagine a company like that who has to have qualified engineers ever.
Yeah, they got to give a plan.
So wait. So you're relying on a company's self-policing of the use.
No, there's a lot more than just the structural part of it. It's height regulations. It's like the balloon test thing. Height restrictions. Does it primarily serve the residents of the town of Lysander? I mean, all of those factors.
Yeah, all I'm concerned with is in this segment is whether or not the facility is safe.
Absolutely. If that's all the review is going to be as a safety type review, absolutely, I'm totally for it. But I don't know as the full Section 8 review is applicable to existing towers.
That was my question.
Yeah,
it sounds like you're placing a standard over an existing. Take for example, house. A lot of the homes that are built don't comply with
code
for today. You want to add an addition to that house, okay? A little sunroom. That has to apply to today's code. But you don't have to go back and remodify the whole house to come up to code because it's grandfathered.
Right. That's
my only point.
Very good. That's exactly where I was going with it. That's
all right. Well,
it's exactly.
Yeah. No, we need to make sure that what Jack is saying is we do exactly that with these towers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
So the complete facility is where the.
Yeah, that complete facility.
That's where the wording gets.
Yeah, because a complete facility would mean you go all the way through all those things in Section 8 of that document, which is extensive. And
I got to take that word out and talk to Sue about how have they dealt with existing.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. That's.
Let's see what she says.
Okay.
Do you want me to stay up here for the water lease?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the town has been working. Myself, Al, the mayor of the village of Baldwinsville, and Steve D'Arcangelo, the engineer of Baldwinsville, has been working on a lease agreement for our 5 water districts. What I'm proposing is a long-term lease agreement with the village of Baldwinsville for water service, and then possibly trying to merge the water districts so that there's one district as opposed to 5. It's been discussed before. It is a process. It's somewhat labor-intensive, but it's worth the effort. But I think the first consideration is to make sure that we have a good agreement in place that benefits that's mutually beneficial. We've spent a lot of time. I mean, we've been working on this since
I started working on this the month after I started here, almost 4.5 years ago.
Right, and so Al and I have been working on it for
since January 1,
and we're finally at a point where both municipalities, at least from the mayor's perspective, the village's engineers' expectations, Al's and mine have been met with this. We're now ready to hand this over to the attorneys to make sure that the language holds up. And hopefully by the end of this year, we will have a long-term lease agreement with the village of Baldwinsville, a municipality that's provided us water for decades. Great service, great water, and it's mutually beneficial. It's good for Greater Baldwinsville. So all I ask of you is that you read down through it, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to email us, CCL, on any questions you might have.
I think this is great. I'll read it, but my sense is this is obviously the right direction to go. So my devil's advocate question would be, what kind of pushback might we get from something like that? Or without throwing anybody under the bus, like, how come this wasn't done 20 years ago?
Well, and Al, you're right. I remember sitting down.
We started this with John. Yeah.
And it looked like things were going down the right path, and then I don't know what happened. We stopped meeting on it, and
yeah. Just fell apart for. I don't think there was any specific reason to say, yeah, we don't want to do this. We just stopped talking about it.
So it's not likely we'll see any pushback.
No, and actually, there's, if anything, we have users on water mains that aren't in a district and aren't protected at all. Mm-hmm. And those town constituents are actually going to be covered under this new agreement, and they're going to be provided some protection. Ultimately, what I'd like to do is offer them the opportunity to actually become part of the district and get brought in a district so that there's even more protection there. But right now, you've got a lot of independent users that get water off of a main. They're not in a district. They're serviced by the village water main, and the village could theoretically say, you know what, we're going to triple your water rates, or because we lost a well on Canton Street,
can't serve you anymore.
We can't serve you anymore, and we're cutting you off, and you got to get your own water. Right now, that situation exists, and so this agreement goes far in protecting those residents.
So what do you mean? This agreement brings them into the district?
No, but they're mentioned as water users, town water users, and their rates are protected under this agreement.
So what do we need to take that next step then, which is get them in a district?
No, well, what we'll do is we want to get this agreement in place and then offer them the opportunity. I've mentioned this to the village. The village wants to see that happen
sure.
as well.
Okay.
I mean, both sides benefit from additional users in a given district.
There is money available from the state for grants, or grant money available from the state to do consolidation of the districts. And ironically, I'm meeting with the lady from the Department of State tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock to see what we need to do or what we can do. I've already talked to them about it, and they said, great idea. I think it's up to $50,000 that we can get for doing the consolidation of the districts. So I'm meeting with her tomorrow morning up in town of Hastings at 10 o'clock to go over what we need to do from a grant application. So if the board's okay with that, it's free money. It's not going to cost us anything. We don't have to.
Fred, I can't help but see you smirking. I know, Kevin, you brought this up in the past. What's prevented this from happening? I thought you were looking at Kevin.
Gene's had a tough day.
Gene's long day.
And we're boring.
Oh, no. I'm glad to hear it.
No. But I want your feedback, because you've mentioned it before. This is a discussion that you and I had months ago. And what's the history? I know you've come to a lot of the meetings. What's prevented this from happening in the past?
I just think other things came up. I think it just became a matter of something else bigger got in the way, and it got forgot.
Yeah, I think. I mean,
I'm sure it's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, you know? It is. It absolutely is.
It took Northwest and Baldwinsville a year and a half, and you know, to get that district.
Okay. Yeah, that's only two organizations.
Right, and you know, but it's not going to get any easier. So yeah, I tried to implore that to the previous board.
Yeah.
Start working on it. So because every year you go. Service comes up, and you know, it just gets convoluted.
Yeah, and I think there are definite benefits for the residents that are outside the district to consider it, because really, at the end of this agreement, there is exposure.
Right.
So what we'll do is we're going to be putting out a letter anyways to all of our district users, letting them know the direction that we're heading in, as far as where can they expect their billing to come from, who do they call if they have an issue. There'll be a complete rollout for this. But I'm excited about it. The village is excited about it. This is kind of a big deal.
I'll report back as soon as I get some information tomorrow. let you know what we need to do to go forward.
Okay.
So hopefully that just, I mean, it doesn't really affect our agreement. It does affect the town having to take care of five, instead of five districts, going to one.
Right.
And in the event of future cost, it spreads that cost amongst more people. So it's a beneficial thing. So
you know, I'm sorry, if there's any kind of an audit, Bob Antonacci, Comptroller of Onondaga County, has offered any assistance that we would have for any type of consolidation effort. So we can definitely draw on their expertise and their resources as well.
So this is a work in progress. There's no dates coming up.
No, I just want you, we're at a point now where the language.
Yep. It's going to the attorneys to get smoothed out.
Yeah, so I want you guys to speed on this and to review it.
Go back to legalese from engineering ease. And
yeah.
Got it.
Good job.
Yeah. So I got one more thing. Okay, you got time, if you don't mind me jumping in.
Yeah.
This is Timberbank's pump station. We had a pump go down towards the end of September 22nd, in Timberbank's pump number 2. This has been a problem child pump for us from inception. We started having problems about 4.5 years after it went in service. It was the first rebuild, and then it was rebuilt again 2.5 years ago, and it went out of service again on the 22nd. The county said, yeah, you know, we're not sure exactly what's going on with this. Typically, we have the county rebuild these pumps for us. They recommended we send it back to Flight for a rebuild at this point in time. We sent it back to Flight for an estimate on a rebuild, and their estimate was $8,959. I complained because it's been a problem child pump. The pump only has 1,800 hours on it. It's a 25 horsepower grinder pump. It's a high head, high RPM pump. At first they were a real stick in the mud, and they said, well, I'm just going to get quotes from other pump suppliers to replace it then, if we're going to go that route. I did get two other quotes. I got one from Seaward Equipment for a Grundfos pump that was $8,949, but it would require some work in the control panel, additional electrical work in the control panel. And I got another quote from ABS. I didn't print it. But that quote was $7,900. But there was extensive work and new soft starts and pipe work that needed to be done in the pump station to make that pump work. So I talked with Flight again today, and they offered to do, they gave us a pretty good gut offer. They said they'd give us a new pump for the cost of the rebuild. So for $8,959, get a complete new pump. We get the old pump back that we can use parts off of. The list price, or the county bid price for that pump would be $12,287. So they took about $4,000 off of the top. They give us a new pump with a full warrant, 5-year warranty. My recommendation, that's their quickest turnaround time. He said that he can have us a pump in 2 to 3 weeks. Both of the other companies were a minimum of 4 weeks out, plus we had to do the electrical work. My recommendation would be we buy one Flight pump now. I talked to the county specialist. Our pump one has the other pump that's still in service has a bearing that's making some noise. They said, geez, you know, do we take advantage of this good price and replace that one at this time too? And his recommendation was it's an upper bearing. More than likely it is a very simple fix, and they can take it apart and service it for us and put it back in service, for less than $1,500. So, you know, my thought is we replace pump two, get the old pump back. We can use it for spare parts. Maybe we can even use some of the parts off of that when we rebuild. do the work on pump one, and you know, it works out. We have 267 units in that district. Dave, I know, is doing the unit charges now for next year. So we wouldn't even have to do any debt service with it. It'd be about $35 a unit on next year's tax bill to pay for the new pump. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be my recommendation, as long as everybody's okay with it.
Sounds smart to me.
Yeah.
Tony, do we need a resolution on this, being that it's a
budgeted item?
It's not a budgeted item.
Is it on county bid?
It's on county bid, yeah. The purchase would be on county bid.
You still need a resolution.
Still need a resolution, yeah. Okay.
So, Al, what's the typical life? I mean, this one was a problem unit, problem pump. But
you know, we've got a lot of other pumps in the town that are 20-plus years old. I was talking to the village engineer this afternoon, and he said they've got some pumps that are 30 years old. These are this is
got a lemon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. That, I mean, it is it's a big pump. That's at a heart. It's a 3,600 RPM pump to generate the head that it needs for 400 gallons per minute. It's you know, because it's a higher RPM, it does have a faster wear rate.
So yeah, about 40.
This,
we have other pumps of this model in the system.
We do not. We do not have. This is
a variable speed.
Yeah, this is a soft start variable speed, 23 and a half or 25 horsepower, 23 horsepower, 460 volt, three phase, 3,600 RPM pump. This is equivalent to some of the county pump station pumps.
So the new pump is the identical pump.
Identical pump, no work in the electrical panel, literally. Drop it on the slide rails and plug it in.
All right, so the motion is, can I get a motion authorizing the engineer to...
They authorize a supervisor to sign a purchase agreement for to replace pump two in the Timber Banks pump station for...
Hang on.
Sorry.
Can't wait that fast.
All right, can I get a motion authorizing the supervisor to replace pump number two in the Timber Banks Sewer District?
Sign a proposal.
To sign a proposal.
To purchase a new pump.
To replace pump number two.
Yes.
In the Timber Banks Sewer District at a cost
of $8,959.21. Plus shipping. I'm sure there's going to be some shipping on the new pump.
At an estimated cost of round up.
We'll say $9,500.
Not to exceed $9,500. Cap it.
I would do the $8,959.21 plus shipping, because I have no idea what that pump is. A few hundred pounds. I have no idea what it costs to ship that thing.
$8,959
plus shipping.
Okay.
Fred had a question too.
I'm sorry, Fred.
Yeah, I was just wondering, in association with that event, with the pump failure, is the engineer of the town aware of any event that happened at the Timber Banks?
Yeah, I have been told. I actually just got told by the engineer that does the work for Timber Banks that they did have a backup 2 weeks ago in the pro shop that they were going to make a claim against the county for.
Okay, that's the question. So I wanted to know if it was a claim against the town or against the county.
No, it would be a claim against the county.
Okay, because I guess their clubhouse all backed up too.
Yeah, well, they don't have a club. Yeah, it's a pro shop there. Okay. Downstairs, yeah.
Same building.
Okay.
All right, you got a motion. That's going to be item K.
County does have other pumps of this model. Inside.
Yeah, well, what they've done is, no, they don't have another pump on site. So we have pump one running, and they have a diesel backup.
The county system has other pumps of this same model.
Yes, that they've had good luck with. Yes,
not having problems with them.
Correct. Flight makes a good pump. I mean, like I said, I was talking to the village engineer, and he's got a 5-horsepower pump that's been in service for over 30 years. It's a Flight.
And you said we get to keep the old pump as well?
Get the old pump back, yes.
Which is a matching pump?
Yeah.
For parts?
For parts. So, and that motor, I mean, the 25-horse electric motor is probably over half, if not two-thirds of the cost of that pump. And that motor's only got, you know, 1,800 hours on it, which really isn't much for those lives. That type of.
So, are you done?
I'm done.
We're not going to have time to talk about the budget. We got 14 minutes.
What did you want to talk about?
Well, David Rowley's not here. The question I want, and we were having a public hearing, and then we have a session that we said we were going to, I guess we can talk about the budget after the public hearing, but I just want to make sure, I want to go back and talk about those raises and my proposal for requiring an up in the percentage for health insurance. And I also want to know, of the fund balance that we're spending, what the fund balance from David Rowley's perspective will be in this year's budget, and if it's going to be 15% as opposed to last year being 17%, I want to know what modifications we would have to do to the budget to bring it back up to 17%. And then I want to talk about where we're going to find that money if there's a consensus to find it.
All right. Well,
so I'm not comfortable right now.
All right. Well, it would be if we were to use the fund, the allocated fund balance that's on the in the budget right now, it would bring the fund balance to 15%. Mm-hmm. So whether or not where you find the money to cut to reduce the burden on the fund balance, I guess would require. And we have the time to have another work session to fine-tune that. I'll go on record right now saying that last year you and Roman fought hard to try to get to keep the fund balance at 20%.
Right.
Given the fact that there was a cut, the size of cut, in this year's budget was willing to live with a 15% fund balance, given the fact that we were looking to increase the tax rate by close to 7%. I thought that showed the community that we were dedicated to controlling costs. And there is a plan. I mean, budgets don't have to rise and fall based on tax rates alone. There's a lot that goes into what your overall fund balance is at the end of the year. How wisely do you spend your money? What are your forecasts going forward? Are debts going to be alleviated? And I'll give you an example. We have debt service for the next 2 years on trucks. We're going to make a final payment this year of $35,000, and that debt goes away. I would propose that next year the $35,000 roll into fund balance to help bring that up.
Joe, I don't want to be rude, but we have 10 minutes, and we're going to present the budget on next Thursday night, the 10th.
I would ask you not to be rude, Bob, and let me finish my thoughts. So $35,000 would be saved next year that could be rolled into fund balance. The year after that, there'd be another $35,000 savings in payments on debt service. That's $70,000 over the next 2 years that can remain in the budget that can be rolled into fund balance without adjusting the rate at all. It's things like that that people need to be aware of. They need to have an open mind towards. And you know, you don't have to have peaks and valleys in your tax burden.
All I want to know is what dollar level. Dave, you just walked in. We're projecting a fund balance of 15% for 2017. What dollars do we have to cut from the budget to bring that fund balance up to 17%? And that's the number I want to discuss. And I want to discuss it before we present the budget to the public. Because I'm hearing you loud and clear, Joe, and I think it's great, but we went from 20 to 17 to 15. And maybe you can convince me that that's okay, but I want to at least go back and look at the budget and say, were we stringent enough in terms of all the things that we want to do next year? And what is it? I don't even know what the dollar level is. Is it $50,000? Is it $200,000? What do we need to do to get it up to 17%? Do you know, Dave?
Every percent in the budget is approximately, what was the dollar?
To answer Bob's question, I would think that the number, and I'm just trying to figure this out off the top of my head, I'd have to go back to my desk and do a little calculation, but we're probably talking a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and we had already cut $265,000 out of the highway budget to get to where we are now. I mean, but I think that's important that the board understand that after this $35,000 payment, debt service is relieved on a bond.
Where did we cut $265,000 from out of the highway budget? From last year, from the 2016's budget?
No, no, on Gene's proposed budget this year.
That means nothing to me.
It should mean something because Gene had determined that was money necessary to complete his
mission. I get that, but we didn't cut the budget. We cut Gene's budget by, I don't even know if we cut it. If we cut it in the maintenance repairs, and I forget, I have it right here, but we didn't cut. I want to know what we did from 2016 to 2017. We're increasing spending in certain areas because we have to. And I'm not saying I'm not going to go for this. I just want to review it, that's all.
I want to review it, too, if we can put a date in.
I believe.
Before
a tentative date.
Before
then we have a tentative date, then we leave a tentative date.
We have November 15th. We're going to present the budget to the public next Thursday, the 10th.
Right, the 10th.
But then we have a date on the 15th open in case we wanted to.
You could change it after the public hearing.
Right.
Well, but I'll tell you what, $200,000 is not.
I think that's the number. I'd have to go back and do some crunching.
That's a significant adjustment. That's not
million?
Taking out a lawnmower.
No, that's like the one. That's like the total road salt budget.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's, you know, I think this question sums up the position that the town is going to be in for some time. I made a comment before that last year's budget that when you cut taxes 20%, it will have a ripple effect for years and years. What I'm trying to do is propose a budget, a smart budget, understanding that as we pay off debts, we'll have additional resources to put towards fund balances.
Joe, that's the argument you're making, and you may convince me. All I'm saying is I'm not suggesting that we find, let's just use $200,000 as a number. I'm not suggesting we find $200,000 in the budget to get us to 17. But I want to make sure that everything we're spending money on in 2000, we're proposing to spend money on in 2017, is absolutely critically necessary to be spent. And if it's just a position where we don't spend as much, maybe we'll never get that 200,000, and we have to raise taxes by the 7% you're proposing. Then I can say I've done everything I can to keep this budget as flat as possible. And I'm not so sure when we went through this that we didn't add things such as a capital account for county for the park system, to doing some modifications to this building. I just want to make sure that we've been as stingy as possible, understanding that we got put into a corner here by the last year's budget. I get that, but I just want to make sure that what we're doing is we've been as persnickety as possible in terms of finding every last dollar, and this is the best we can do. And you know, maybe it means cutting the highway maintenance budget by $40,000. I don't know. I hear you that we didn't buy a truck and we didn't buy two trucks, but that we didn't. They weren't even in the budget for 2016. So I'd like a review. And if you want to do it after the public hearing, okay, but I'm willing to meet between now and next Thursday night.
That was going to be my question. Are you comfortable doing it after the public hearing, or do you?
The public hearing has to be by that date. I think that's a mandate.
Yeah,
right.
Any modifications will be after the public hearing, unless we could get together in an emergency meeting just prior to that.
That's what I was asking. Do you want, do people want to get together prior to the adoption?
I can.
I can as well.
I can
We can. Tuesday's election day, so that's not going to work. So it's either Monday or Wednesday, the 7th or the 9th.
Do if we do it Wednesday, do we have time to put it together for the public hearing?
Dave's got a lot.
Dave's got a lot.
Yeah, it'd be difficult, obviously. But
so is Monday better?
Monday would be better.
Better for you.
If you're going to do anything, do it Monday. Gives me time to change the PowerPoint presentation.
Change by tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday.
What'd you say, Jim?
I said you've got tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday also.
I have tomorrow. I don't have Saturday.
I got Monday.
I can work. I can come in Monday.
I can come in Monday.
Monday's fine with me. And again, this may be just an exercise to make sure that I'm personally comfortable with this budget. We may not change it.
Well, all of us need to be comfortable with it. I'm good with it. I agree.
And it would be nice to just do one final sweep through before the public hearing, you know, because I think it looks better if we can make the changes before we present to the public than afterwards. We still make changes afterwards, but.
Okay.
What time?
Monday, 5:45. Does that give you enough time, Roman?
Gives me enough time.
Okay.
In the conference room?
And I just want to go on record for saying thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for bringing it up. Put that in the announcements, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm totally wide open tomorrow.
Yeah, two. I mean, two. Yeah, Bob said he could meet at two. I can meet at two. Roman, you can't meet at two tomorrow, can you? Could you meet at two to walk that land?
No.
Okay. Pete's out. So it's going to be the three of us. Al, can you do two?